Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs can come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Welcome to this episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast. Today, Terry Hansen joins us from the Hansen Group Company. Terry is a marketing guru and creator of Hansen University. And he's going to share with us today the fundamentals of marketing that every business owner needs to consider. So listen in as he shares the five P's of marketing.
Well, Terry, we're excited that you've decided to join us for this episode of our podcast. Great to have you here with us today.
So good to be with you here. I am a huge fan of Ascent 101 and all that you guys are doing. So it's my privilege to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. We appreciate that. And you know, just a little bit of background, Terry, for you, you know what we're doing here at Ascent 101. And we've covered a lot of things in our prior podcasts about getting businesses started, the steps that they need to take. And as we did introduce you in our bio, the reason why we've brought you on is because you're an expert in marketing. I am not. Danielle is not. And unfortunately, she couldn't join us today. That's why we wanted you here today, is to talk about marketing and help our listeners, you know, maybe take away some tips, tricks, and some things that they need to be thinking about as they market their product, their service. And so let's just start off. I mean, this may be a really fundamental question, Terry, but why is marketing so important to a new or an existing business?
Well, you know, knowing that your listeners are probably coming from all sorts of different walks of life, some businesses may have been around actually for a little while. Some might be brand new and just started. Some might be just considering, you know, getting started. But at the end of the day, it really is about a return on your investment, an investment of time, an investment of obviously money. You know, when you're starting a business, sometimes you have to purchase a lot of equipment. You've got buildings, you've got staff and employees potentially. You've got overhead. And obviously, marketing is the very first element or first piece of trying to get a return on that investment. So it's really where revenue starts. More importantly, so that's kind of the key core reason. But in addition, you're not alone. I mean, I wish the business landscape was all sunshine. It can be a very cutthroat world, meaning that you've got competitors who have been in the marketplace for years, maybe sometimes decades. And guess how excited that they are that you just decided to open up your business and join them. They're not very excited about that at all. So they're actually trying to take you down. They're trying to do whatever they can to keep you from going into business. So unless you've got a really good marketing strategy or a sales plan or some way to get customers, your competitors are going to eat your lunch. So you kind of have to think about you jumping into the water with sharks all around you. Like, they're going to eat you unless you've got a way to stay afloat, stay alive, and swim faster than they are, and, you know, something like that. Don't want to beat that analogy up too much there, but that's it. I mean, internally, marketing's vital so we can bring customers to our door. But secondarily, it is what keeps you alive, because your competitors are trying to put you out of business. So it's both a defensive strategy, but also an offensive strategy in that sense.
Oh, I like the way you say that, offensive and defensive strategy. And so maybe to sum it up is, you know, I know for a lot of people, you know, they're trying to manage costs, they're trying to manage expense, but you talked about how marketing is a return on investment. It's a way to get your return on investment of all your expenses.
Absolutely. Yep. No question. Correct.
So as we talk about this marketing and the different forms of marketing, you know, one of the things, you know, I think a lot of people are maybe struggling or trying to understand is how do I market? And I guess what I'm saying is, what platforms should I consider? I mean, there's all sorts. You got your print, your radio, your online. I mean, there's a number of them. From your standpoint in the current, I guess, economic situation we're in with all the digital and everything, what areas should a business owner focus in? Where should they focus their hard-earned money or their own investment into marketing?
Well, you'll only hear me say this about 4,000 times during the course of our conversation, but when it comes to sales, when it comes to marketing, in all things and always, in every measure, this is always the right answer. Your customer will tell you. Your customer has to direct what you do. Otherwise, you're just in trouble. It really doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't really matter what the books say or the popular gurus say. Nobody's opinion on the planet matters more than your own customer. And so to your point, yes, there's only about like 1,000 different marketing channels and platforms. You've got television, radio, billboard, Facebook ads, Instagram ads. You've got newspaper. You've got park benches. You've got Goodyear blimps. You've got almost an innumerable number of ways to market and promote and advertise our businesses. But again, wherever your customer's attention is, that is where you should be marketing and promoting. So for example, I'm just going to make up a silly example. If I am marketing and promoting a line of clothing, let's say, and it's geared towards millennials, if you were going to market to them, where would you market to them? Like, where are their eyeballs? Where are their ears? What are they paying attention to? Is it the yellow pages?
Oh, no.
Is it the newspaper? No, it's not. So you would be a fool to put your company in the yellow pages if that's who you're marketing to. Now, compare and contrast. What if I am, and I'm just going to make up another terrible example here just to illustrate the point. If I am an insurance guy and I am selling long-term care or maybe a supplement to my Medicaid insurance policy or something like that. And I'm 50, I'm in my 50s or 60s or maybe 70s or something like that. I don't know. Where is my attention? What am I paying attention to? What am I watching? What am I listening to? What am I reading? Are my eyes on my cell phone and on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and on YouTube? Or could they be in the phone book? Are they in the newspaper? Are they on billboards? Could be. Right? So silly examples, very simple, very simple. But in all things, your customer and their attention, what they're paying attention to, that is your answer to that question. So really the heart and soul of the key ingredient here is you've got to know your customer. So you've got a product, you've got a service, you've got an idea for a business. Great. You've opened up your doors. Great. That's awesome. The first thing that you want to do is start becoming very, very well acquainted with who your customers are. So you've sold 10 products, you've sold 100 products, you've already got some existing customers using you. Call them back up after the purchase and interview them. Find out just ask them, hey, we're doing some market research. We're trying to get to know our customers a little bit better. Would you mind if I ask you some questions, right? You can do this over the phone or you can do this via email, but whatever you do, you've just got to learn about your customers. You got to learn kind of some of the basic demographic stuff, like how old are you? What's your income? What part of town do you live in? You know, what's your education background? Are you married or single? Kids? You know, all just kind of this basic stuff, right? But then I'll also ask some additional questions like, what's your lifestyle like? What do you read? What are you interested in? Where's your attention? What do you read? What are you listening to? What are you watching? And it might sound a little crazy, but the more of that kind of thing that you can truly understand, the better and easier it is to market and promote your stuff to people just like that at scale, right? So in all ways and all things, let your customers tell you how to market and promote.
Know your customers. And you know, that's an excellent point, because one of the things that we've talked a lot about in our prior podcasts is this idea of when you're getting started but definitely as you're going along, is you got to have a business plan. And one of those key components of your plan is, where are you going to get your revenue from? I.e. who are your customers?
Yeah.
So not only will that help you, it sounds like, when you're identifying, okay, where is my revenue streams coming from, just purely from where the revenue is going to come from, it allows you then to identify where your customers will be located so you can target and market them to bring in that revenue stream.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, my next question was around, you know, how critical is online marketing? How critical is social media marketing? And you answered that question by basically saying it's critical if that's where your customers will be found.
Well, there's another aspect of it, and it's called social proof. See, you and I as consumers, when we go to buy things, we really do want to feel like what we're buying is safe, that it's going to work, that it's good, that we're not making a mistake. We don't want buyer's remorse, right? That we've all had those experiences and we're not interested in those. So when we are interested in buying something from someone and we stumble across your yellow pages, your billboard, your Facebook ad, your, you know, fill in the blank, right? One of the things that we as consumers do is we go try to learn about you to see if you are credible. And so one of the places that we as shoppers go is online. And because at least these days, many people will go online to see who else has bought from you. And they've left reviews. And those consumer reviews and testimonials are pretty important. Like, how many 5-star reviews do you have? 1? 30? 500? Like, that matters. And even if your demographic, your customers are maybe these older people that aren't going to go online and look for that sort of thing, they're still leaning across the fence to the neighbor and said, "Hey, you ever heard of Terry Hansen? I'm thinking about taking some marketing consulting from him, or some sales training from him. Have you ever heard of that guy?" They're still looking for that social proof. They're waiting for their neighbor to say, "Oh yeah, Terry Hansen, I've heard of that guy. Solid dude. Yeah, you should check him out." And that gives them the confidence that they need to say, "Yeah, it's probably what I'm going to do," right? So whether it's offline or online, people want that validation of, are you a safe bet? So of course, I reiterate the same message as before, is your customers are always going to dictate where you should be marketing and promoting, wherever their attention is. But the other is, I believe, yes, you've got to have an online presence, because so many people want to check you out. They want to stalk you. They want to see, are you credible? You know that you're not going to waste their time, their money, or give them a bunch of buyer's remorse there. So, in addition, just to straight up marketing and promoting and advertising online, it's about, are you a safe bet?
Is marketing kind of almost in like an indirect way, rather than maybe so much targeting your specific clients? It's more just presenting yourself to the general, population as a whole, saying, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what we do. I'm creditable. I am what I say I am." And so that people kind of feel comfortable making the purchase or checking you out even more.
Yeah, back in the old days, you know, we've heard the phrase, you know, I'm going to hang out a shingle. Well, what does that mean? Well, back in the old days, if you're going to hang out a shingle, you had this wood plaque that you engraved your business name on, and you hung that out in front of your shop or your business, place of business. That meant you're open for business and that you're legitimate and people would walk in. We don't do that anymore. Just because there's a sign up, you're pretty much invisible. Just because you've got a shingle out doesn't mean I'm going to come into your business. Doesn't mean that I need you, or even if I do need you, you've got 15 other competitors right down the road. I'm probably going to go to somebody else that's got more reviews, that looks more credible and trustworthy. I don't want to have buyer's remorse. I don't want to make a bad decision here. So I just need to see that you're legit. And so there's a lot of online things that you can do to let people know you're legit. You're safe. You're a safe bet. You're a credible, reputable company, and you can be trusted.
Yeah, it's interesting. You think of the dynamic back before we had all the online stuff, everything, like you mentioned earlier, it was about going to your neighbor and getting that credibility. You're talking to someone else. Now we have the internet and friends we may not even know that are friends, or people we may not even know, providing that feedback, that credibility that we're looking for. I know I shop that way. I look for reviews. I'm looking to understand, is this a good product? Because some of the stuff I can't touch and feel until it arrives in the mail. So, you know, I think that's an excellent point. And that kind of leads me to a next something that I wanted to bring up. Hopefully, you know, some of our listeners are like, okay, so he's talked about you know, knowing where my customers are hanging out at or where I can find them. He's talking about this credibility. Is there other things as our listeners are hearing this that they should be considering as they're developing a marketing strategy? What things should be top of their mind as they consider that strategy and how they're going to go out and market?
Yeah. There's some of the old school thinking still applies really well. If you go get an MBA at college, they teach you about the four P's, the five P's, the six or seven P's. There's a lot of P's. And so I'll share just a couple of these very standard ones. They still are very applicable. But one of the first P's is your prospect or who your potential customer is. You really need to be clear, as we've already talked about who your customer really is. So you spend some good time thinking about them. Who are they? Where are they? What do they need? What do they want? You know, that sort of thing. Okay. So that's kind of the first P, is your potential customer or who your prospect might be. That's the first P. The second P to think about would be your promotional message. Like, what are you going to say to them? Let's pretend you had your dream customer right in front of you. They didn't know you from Adam, right? What would you say to them to get their attention, to get them motivated and interested to learn more about you? So to some degree, your marketing strategy has to take into consideration your message, your promotional message. And so that's critical. So you, the first P is just your prospective client. Your second P is your promotional message. What are you going to say to them? And then the third P is your product, or in essence, your product or service. Is what is it about your product or service that really does a good job at meeting the needs of your customer? How can you brand that and position that so that it's kind of unique in the marketplace, or it's got some unique elements to it and that sort of thing? So think about, you know, if you're starting a brand new business, then make sure that you're picking a product or service that has got some unique elements or aspects to it that'll kind of help you stand out and be unique in the marketplace for sure. So that's the third P. The fourth P to think about is certainly your price, your pricing strategy. Are you planning on being the Walmart of your industry, the low-cost leader, or are you going to be the Tiffany's of your industry, the most premium, high-priced, you know, business in town? Or are you going to be somewhere in between? Like, what is your pricing strategy going to be? So that's another P to think about. These are all kind of classic generic standards for putting together a marketing strategy. There's a bunch more, but just to keep it short, sweet, and simple, you've got your potential customer, you've got your promotional message, you've got your product, you've got your price, that's four. And then maybe a fifth and final one, to keep it simple, would be is your promotional campaigns. It's your billboards, your Facebook ads, your newspaper ads, your YouTube videos, your, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it's going to be, is just picking those promotional campaigns or those promotional channels that you're going to communicate your message to, or through. If I were designing and developing a marketing strategy or a campaign for, you know, a client, you know, right now, those would be kind of the core basic things that you just kind of gotta move through and make some decisions on and research and plan out.
As you were talking, you know, I was thinking about just a number of things. And one of the things that came to me is really your strategy is trying to develop a way to make you different. And so you really, it's really taking basically kind of your core business, your core, I guess, what you're need you're trying to service, and just kind of exploding that out into, this is how I'm going to meet that need. This is why I'm different, whether it's price, product, service, whatever. And that's the message I've got to deliver, or else it's not going to work. Well, so let's talk about this, Terry, because I know a lot of our listeners are saying, well, hey, I'm just starting out here, man. I don't have a whole lot of money to devote to this. I don't have a whole lot of cash reserves right now. Things are kind of tight. I mean, we both of us have been in that situation before. Sure. We know what that's like. what are some cost-effective strategies maybe a new business owner could implement?
Yeah, yeah. So in the world of marketing, make no mistake, there is a little bit of a misnomer or kind of a common error of thought that people make is that it takes money to make money. Have you ever heard that phrase? It takes money to make money. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you can't make money without spending money, it will be twice as hard to try to make money when you've got money. So the golden lesson here is you can market and promote your business very effectively with zero marketing dollars and zero marketing budget. It takes some strategy and some technique, right? But it's very possible. And so please don't feel like you have to go to a bank and take out a monstrous loan to feed your marketing budget in order for you to be successful. Maybe in some industries that's critical or something like that. But if you happen to have a marketing budget, then that just gives you a leg up, of course, and will help things move along quicker and faster. In marketing, there's kind of instant gratification forms of marketing, and then there's delayed gratification forms of marketing. The instant gratification forms of marketing are usually where you're buying billboards or buying ads in newspapers or magazines or TV or radio or on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, TikTok or any of these other places, right? You're buying an ad, you're getting it in front of your target market, and you start getting clicks and calls and visits and downloads and things happen pretty quickly. And that's kind of instant gratification stuff. And that's great. But there's another form of marketing, which is just kind of generally speaking called this delayed gratification form of marketing. It takes a little bit more sweat, a little bit more muscle, a little bit more hustle, but it works just great and it works just fine. But so a couple of recommendations. If you've got zero marketing dollars and you're starting out and you're like, I don't even know what to do. So one of the first things that I would suggest in a big, big way is for you to think about putting together a list of influencers or affiliates or other people that your customers are already buying products and services from. And I'll just use a simple example. Let's say I'm an insurance agent, right? And I'm just starting out. I've got nothing. I would be thinking about who my dream customer is and what they kind of look like and that sort of thing. But then I'm going to ask, who is my dream customer already buying stuff from? Who is my dream customer already buying stuff from? And let's say I live in a part of town that my dream customer kind of lives in the affluent part of town, right? And I know that my dream customer are professionals. They're doctors, they're attorneys, they're, you know, CPAs, they're, I don't know, engineers, they're white collar, smarty pants, highly intelligent people that have a big nest egg and that sort of thing. Like that's my dream. But they also are fond of fitness and they like to go to, you know, athletic, you know, fitness gyms, right? For example, I might, and I know that several of my dream customers like to go to this particular workout facility in this kind of more higher end affluent neighborhood. I might, for example, put down the owner or general manager of that gym as an affiliated business that is already doing business with my dream customer. And so then I might think about, okay, so who are, say, the attorneys that my dream customers are already working with? Who are the CPAs that my dream customers are already doing business with? What are the grocery stores that are already selling their stuff to my dream customers? What are the car dealerships? Fill in the blank. And I'm going to make a list of like 50 of those, maybe even 100 of those. And this sounds crazy, but after I've made a list of those affiliated, non-competitive businesses that already have relationships with my dream customers, I'm going to immediately start contacting them and introducing myself to them and finding ways that I can serve them to create value for them. I might offer some complimentary services to them. I might offer to send them some testimonials or referrals. I might offer to, you know, I don't even know what, but I might offer to do something to create some value for them. I might even take a page out of your playbook that Ascent 101 is doing. I might even start a podcast or a video show or a blog, right? And I would see about asking the general manager or the owner of that gymnasium to see if he wouldn't mind being on my podcast, being a guest on my podcast, or if the car dealership general manager wouldn't mind being a guest on my video show, or if the attorney wouldn't mind writing a guest blog, guest article that could appear on my on my blog, right? I'm going to find ways to get those affiliated businesses to develop a good relationship with them, because when I develop a relationship with them, then we can start the process of actually cross promoting each other. I'm going to promote their products and services to whatever meager list of customers I have. And there, because I'm scratching their back and doing some nice things for them, they're going to be willing to promote my stuff to their customers as well, especially if I'm able to pay them maybe a referral fee or a commission. Now, I recognize that maybe in some industries like insurance, for example, that's not, it's against professional conduct and standards, and that's just fine. I'm using it as an example. But for every single one of those gym customers that buys my stuff, I kick back to that gym owner a referral fee or a small commission. He's going to enjoy that. So one way to market and promote your company is by promoting your products and services, whatever they are, to the customers of other businesses. And this is just a creativity game. So ask yourself, who is my dream customer already doing business with, already following, already listening to, already watching? And what can I do to start developing a good, solid relationship with them? How can I help them promote their business? And then how can I put my message in time in front of their customers? The more of their customers that know about me will start patronizing and coming to my business for sure. So that's one. That is one. So they call that affiliate marketing, marketing, where you're selling your products and services to the customer base of other businesses.
Let me jump in here, Terry, because I love that. I mean, it's almost like network marketing, but on steroids in a way. You know, you're identifying whether it's a network you already have, and going out and saying, "Hey, do these individuals or companies, is that where I find my customers? And if it is, I need to go talk to them and figure out a way that I can cross market promote our products together. Whether you can do some sort of kickback fee or whatever, you know, like you say, that's industry specific, but it's so true. I mean, it's like you said, it takes a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work and effort, but no dollars really up front. And so that's, I love that strategy. I know you got another one here, Terry, but I want to say we've always promised our podcast listeners that we're going to stay to 30 minutes or less. And I was just looking at our clock here. We're bumping up on that 30-minute mark. And so let me ask you this. If we end this podcast right now, would you be willing to join us for a part two of Terry Hansen sharing some of his knowledge and finish off this discussion, whether it's another 5-10 minutes? How does that sound?
Oh, that would be delightful. You betcha. Happy to.
All right.
Happy to.
Well, let's do that. So we're going to, Terry, I appreciate it. We're going to jump off here and we're going to do the wrap up in a part two of marketing, because this is some good stuff. So let's finish up part one here. Thanks, Terry.
All righty. My pleasure.
For part two.
We are so glad you joined us today for part one of Marketing Made Easy with Terry Hansen. Make sure you join us next week for podcast episode 11 for part two of our interview with Terry. Until then, we wish you a prosperous week.